Such a beautiful song, and we can see there the account of the birth of Christ. And it's such a special occasion, so supernatural, so many signs and wonders accompanying it, that I think if the world would just see and notice that and see that Jesus Christ truly was God from his conception, miraculous. I'd just like to take us through a few scriptures just surrounding the wonders around the birth of Christ. And I think you'd agree that if any other person on this earth had one of those signs accompanying their birth, we'd think, wow, this is someone special. This is a heavenly person. Now, Christ had all of these different signs, and we're going to look at some of those and just enjoy the biblical account of Emmanuel, God with us, Christ coming down from heaven to dwell amongst us. So amazing. And it is so necessary. There's no better time of the year than to consider the first few chapters of the Gospels. It's quite appropriate. We can't ignore those chapters. We can't just try and focus on other aspects, but we need to start there when we look at the Gospels. So the first scripture that I've got for us there is alluding to the fact that there was over 300 prophecies concerning the conception, the birth, the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And he fulfilled each and every one. And mathematically, the chance of that happening to any one person is one to the power of, you know, you've got infinite zeros there, and an exponent that boggles the mind. So it is just mathematically impossible in the natural that this could have happened, but it did happen. And there's only one person that it happened to and with, and that is Jesus Christ. And it's not only biblical account that verifies it, but there's so many extra biblical accounts as well. And so it's something that as believers we can be very excited about when we go and consider these facts. And there's one very special prophecy in Isaiah, verse 9, and at least chapter 9, verse 6. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. And the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. For to us a child is born. Jesus came on a mission. It was not... God doesn't do anything without a purpose, without a reason. And sometimes we struggle with that fact. There's some things happening in our lives that we don't quite understand. And where is it all leading to? But we need to comfort ourselves in the fact that God is in control. If you're a believer, he's in control of your life. And sometimes we take detours, we bump our heads, and we make mistakes. But if we keep following Jesus, if we stay in love with him, he will bring us back on track. He's in control. Comfort yourself with that fact. The government will be on his shoulders. There is no higher authority. There's no greater name. Let's consider the angelic activity around the birth of Christ. There were numerous accounts, but in Luke 1:26, we read about the angels coming to Mary. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, the town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. It's quite interesting. I think we would have fallen flat, been so afraid, and she acts like she sees angels every other day. What kind of a greeting is that? But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great, will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. Of course, Joseph had a visitation, the shepherds, and they had a whole host of heaven's angels singing to them. Amazing. I don't know if anyone here has seen an angel. Maybe there is. You mustn't be shy about that. You must share. You must testify. It's real. It's not spooky. When an angel visits you, it's God. The miraculous conception. Matthew 1, verse 20. After he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." The word Jesus means Savior. That was the mission for which he came. Jesus came to seek and save the lost. He came to destroy the works of the enemy. He came to save us. If Jesus hadn't come yet, it wouldn't make the Old Testament any less true. It would just be that he would still have to come. But praise God that we live in the age of the new covenant and that Jesus has already come. And that we can know that grace of having our sins completely forgiven and washed away. How amazing. In the Old Testament, they experienced other wonders and interruptions in the natural order, but they didn't know how we feel today, where we can know as God's children that our sins are completely forgiven. We have assurance of salvation, where they had to bring lambs and goats and bulls every year to be slaughtered for their sin to be covered for another year. Well, the blood of bulls and goats will never be able to take away the sin, but only as a covering, only as a shadow, only as a sign of things that are to come. But then, the Bible says, at the appointed time, our Father sent his Son, Jesus, the Lamb of God. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. And through the blood of Christ, our sin is washed away. See, God has overlooked the times gone by, but now he commands everyone to repent, to turn to him. Today is the day of salvation. Celestial activity. I think sometimes, you know, in the busyness of life, from time to time we run late and we'd love the sun to stop. We'd love something to happen, some kind of a massive natural event, hopefully not a disaster, but that, you know, we can arrive there sufficiently late and say, but, you know, the mountain fell over the road and I was blocked. No one got hurt, but I'm sorry that I'm an hour late. In Jesus' case, there was a massive star that appeared and led even the three wise men, the three kings of Orient, to Bethlehem and over the stable where he was born. Matthew 2, verse 9, after they had heard the king, they went on their way. And the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. The star of Bethlehem. How amazing. That's not the only time. I mean, God made the sun stand still for Joshua and so, but celestial activity. I think we would agree that that's a pretty special child that was born right there, where God would move a star in the heavens to signify his position. Amazing. Of shepherds and kings. Luke 2, verse 8. There were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He's the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You'll find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Jesus Christ is Lord of all. Whether you're a pauper or a prince, a shepherd or a king, the shepherds were the lowliest of professions in that time. having to spend their days and nights out in the field looking after sheep that were considered also the lowliest of animals, not very bright and maybe somewhat smelly. And these shepherds were out there, and God would send a host of angels to invite them to be part of it and to come to the king. Doesn't matter who you are. You're not insignificant. You're not inadequate. You're not a person that is not deemed valuable to the Lord, that is not worth saving. No, each one of us, mankind, the pinnacle of God's creation, He created us to be with Him, to be His children. He's a father and He wants a family and He wants His children with Him because He's a good father. And He went to the greatest extreme to pave the way for us to come into relationship with Him, a holy God. And we could never come to Him with our sin because He's holy. Sin cannot survive in His presence or any sinner, but He sent His Son as the perfect sacrifice to pay the price for our sin, an acceptable sacrifice, a sacrifice that the devil was prepared to accept, to kill Jesus on the cross, except he thought that he had won. But death cannot hold our King, and the tomb is empty today. He overcame sin and death at the cross, made a public spectacle of the enemy, defeated him. And so we do not have to be afraid because God has made a way for us. That if we put our faith in Jesus Christ, John 3:16, we shall not perish but have everlasting life. Because our sin has been washed away, we do not need to go through life with guilt. Some of us walk through life with such heavy bags on our shoulders just weighing us down, and we feel so much guilt of the past. Well, we all have a past. You're not special in that way. We all have a past. None of us were born saved, although you might know someone who's always been really good, but I promise you, probably even they stole a cookie from the cookie jar, told a couple of white lies. And of course, I don't know if there's anyone on this earth that hasn't gossiped before. I mean, it's culture in our country. Sevendelaan, ne? Ja, al die Sevendelaan mense, kruip nou weg. Ons weet. No, we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But through faith in Jesus Christ, we are made free. Free from fear, free from guilt and shame. We can hold our heads up high and be proud of our King, Jesus, who paid the price for us. On days like today, especially so, we've got a message when we go out there, when we meet with our families, friends, even just on the street. We can say, glory to God in the highest. Our King has come. The Savior has come. He paid the price. We can all be saved. He loves everyone. No matter who you are, where you were born, what culture you were born into, what faith your family practices, doesn't matter. And God is just and He's fair, and everybody in this life will get an opportunity to hear the gospel. Even if it's supernaturally direct from heaven in an instant, everyone will have an opportunity to accept Jesus Christ or to reject Him. And none of us can judge anyone. We don't know when it's their time. Our only responsibility out of a motive of love would be to share with them. Anything less than that would be criminal. If we know that we might be the only believer that this person would encounter, and we have got the answer to eternal life, where they might still be under condemnation, we have to share that good message with them. And it's an easy message. It's not complicated. The gospel is not just for an elite group of intellectuals. Everyone, from kings to shepherds, can understand the gospel and be saved. We can communicate that. Yes, there is a God in heaven. All of this didn't just happen by chance. And you didn't happen by chance. You were fearfully and wonderfully made. And our God loves you. And he demonstrated that once and for all time. And that while all of us were still sinners, Christ died for us on the cross. And he satisfied the wrath of God for our wickedness. And God has deemed that sufficient. And if we believe in Jesus, that he died for us and rose again, that we will be saved. And everyone who calls on the name of Jesus will be saved. Then Jesus was targeted for assassination. Thankfully, I'm sure a precious few of us have ever had to endure that. Matthew 2, verse 16. When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, the kings, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. Jesus was targeted for assassination. The enemy wanted to take him out. We've experienced that in many of our congregations. How the enemy comes and attacks our little ones, our babies. You know, we trust God, but just because we believe us doesn't mean life is easy. There's challenges, and it's in those times when our faith is tested that we really experience God and that we grow and that we get strengthened. We got to stand up in our homes as kings and priests, husbands, fathers. We've got to take the lead there. We've got to pray protection. We've got to plead the blood of Christ over our family. Why do we pray that? Why do we say that? It relates to the time of Exodus when the Jews painted the blood of the lambs on the doorposts so that the angel of death would pass over in Egypt. We plead the blood of Christ, the protection over our family. So many times I've done that, and I've seen that God has really come through for us and protected us from imminent danger and disaster. And we've experienced a lot of resistance when it comes to our little ones. Parents, you must pray for your children. Lay hands on your children. Pray for them. The enemy comes and he tries to take out the babies with sicknesses and all kinds of things. And because he knows there's a call. Each one of us have been created for a reason. There's a call on your life. There's a purpose why you're here. God has a set of instructions for you, a set of works that he wants you to walk in once you're saved, not in order to get saved, but he's got a great purpose for you as part of his overall plan for salvation of the world, a plan that's not going to fail. Who knows that God's plans will not fail? But if you say no to those plans, he will just pass it to someone else. But everyone has a plan. Everyone has a plan, and so the enemy knows that as well. So he's also got a plan for you that's quite the opposite. And he'll try and take you out. If he can't kill you, it's easier to kill a baby than a grown-up. A grown-up's much more vigilant, so the enemy will try and kill babies. And we see that happening all over the world, even before they are born. They're being aborted in their hundreds of thousands. We need to stand against that injustice, against that bloodshed. The blood of those babies cries out to God, and there will be justice, but we need to stand against these things. So we need to pray protection over our children, but we can see that the enemy, and here he tried that with Jesus, tried to take him out when he was a baby, tried to get Herod in his jealousy to come and kill Jesus when Herod told the Magi, "No, I want, tell me where he is, I want to go and worship him." And then the Lord warned the Magi so that they would return to the east by another way. And then Herod went crazy and just started killing all the babies to try and somehow get to Jesus. And then finally Jesus was worshipped in the manger. I think it's so remarkable that our Lord was born in a stable. Such humility. It shows he there's no extreme that he will not go to. to prove and demonstrate his love, and that he's not somehow above us, but he is, you know, or somehow unreachable. But he's right there. The word says that if you just, in Acts chapter 17, if you just reach out and grope for him and grasp for him, you'll find him. He's right there. He's right there with you. You call out to Jesus. He's there for you. And so such humility, he came. The King of heaven left his throne, took on the form of man. Okay, such humility. Gave up his reputation. I mean, for us today, it's all about reputation. How many followers you have on Twitter, you know, how many tweet, or what do they call them, twits, or, yeah. So, you know, it's about being famous, about having a reputation. And if you go and look, who are the famous people, who are the most followed people today on social media, you'll get a shock of your life. It's not anyone that you would want to let near to your children, but they are being followed. Our youth need guidance. We must help them. We need guidance. But the one that we must be following is Jesus. And what did he show? How did he lead? Was a model of servant leadership. And he came down and it was marked by humility. Not only form of a man, but like a bondservant. He came to die for us. He came not to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom for many. He came and he wasn't born in a palace or even an inn, but in a stable. There's animals around. Smelly. Not in a nice cot, in a manger, straw and hay there. But he was worshipped. You'd think a baby born in a palace might receive some adoration and adulations, but yeah, from all over people came from far away. And the Magi bowed down in worship to this baby lying in a manger. Is this a special child we're talking about? Is this the King of glory that we're talking about? So I've just mentioned a few of the, you know, what we read about around the birth of Christ, just signs and wonders around his birth, signifying how special, how amazing, how unique the fact that he was the Son of God. We see God's heart revealed even through those events. From the beginning, Jesus came with a purpose. And he accomplished that purpose. He was the Son of God. He was ushered in this glorious way. And he finished it in that glorious way. Walking out of that tomb. Having overcome sin and death. And so these signs that we spoke about this morning doesn't even mention his sinless life. Other signs and wonders that he accomplished all over the place. His death, resurrection, and ascension. Not even to mention those things. Now, our God, our Savior, our Lord, he is the King of glory. And so the scripture that I just had on my heart for us this morning especially was that about the King of glory in Psalm 24. You don't read a lot about the King of glory elsewhere in the Bible. Of course, our Lord has many names, many wonderful names that he's known by. That signify different attributes. But Psalm 24, I just want to encourage us with this morning. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. For he founded it on the seas and established it on the waters. Who may ascend the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? The one who has clean hands and a pure heart. Who does not trust in an idol, swear by a false god. They will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from God their Savior. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, God of Jacob. Lift up your heads, you gates. Be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, you gates. Lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is he, this King of glory? The Lord Almighty, he is the King of glory. Such glorious signs around the life of Christ, and starting there from his birth, from before his conception, angelic visitation, all of these things, just pointing to the fact that this is a child, this is a person that will be born that is like no other. And he is worthy of your worship. They came down and they worshipped him. The three kings came and worshipped him. And he calls us to bow down and worship him. To worship means to ascribe worth. In his case, the highest worth. To shine a spotlight on him. To make him number one. That we would give Christ preeminence in all things pertaining to our lives. That he would sit on the throne of our hearts. That we would surrender control to him. That we would call him Savior and Lord. Lord being Master. Master being the one that I submit to. The one that I defer to. The one that I follow. The one who I take my lead from. Jesus. Do not make a decision without consulting Jesus. I'm not talking about what color toothbrush you're going to buy. I'm talking about the important things. We need to live out our faith. We can't just say, Lord, Lord, but have nothing else to do with him Monday to Saturday, and then be surprised when he says, but you did not know me. He wants relationship with us. It's not about going to church. Church is awesome. Church, we get encouraged. We worship him together. He wants that corporate worship. He wants the word to be taught and spoken. And yes, we need to gather. But first and foremost, it's about relationship. Church means nothing if you don't have relationship with Jesus. And so this morning, I want to echo David's sentiments in the psalm and ask, have you let the King of glory in? Is Jesus your King? Or maybe you just view him as an acquaintance or a friend. Is he your King today? Is he the one in charge? Are you living a kingdom life? Are you abiding by kingdom laws and principles? Who's in charge in your life? Before we pray, I would like the ushers to please hand out the elements of communion. We've come to the end of our services for the year, and it's also Christmas morning. I'd love us to have communion together. And that we cast our mind forward from the scriptures that I've read now. Jesus came, and from the very beginning, we can see he's the Son of God. And we rejoice in that. And then we got to cast our minds forward and remember why he came. He came to die. He came to go to the cross. We cannot stop at our thoughts on Jesus with a baby in the manger. In the same way, we cannot stop with a picture of Jesus just hanging on the cross, but we also need to fast forward there and see that he's risen from the dead. He's overcome sin and death. If there was no resurrection, we would have no hope today. That's a story for another day. So we need to remember what he has done for us and why he came. It's not just good enough to know that he came, but why he came, and to receive that for yourself, to make that your own, to make his story your story, to invite him to be part, and more than that, to take charge. There's no one else in history whose birth was accompanied by all of these signs that we spoke about this morning. The life of Christ. I want to encourage you to just revisit the Gospels again. Maybe you got some extra time off now between Christmas and New Year. Just take some time and visit the Gospels. Look at Jesus. Pray a prayer before you read the Gospels and just ask God, God, show me your Son. Show me Jesus. Holy Spirit, reveal the truth about Jesus to me. Because there's some people that might read the Gospels and think other things about Jesus, things that are not true, and might take offense. You know, because he spoke the truth, Jesus didn't compromise. And sometimes the truth hurts just a little bit before it sets you free. But what we mustn't fail to see is the love of God. The love of Christ. No greater love has anyone in this than to lay down his life for his friends. Who do you know that has died for you, for your sin, so that you can be free for an eternity? Free in him. Eternal life in the fullness of the glory of God. Who else has done that for you? So everything that you hear Christ say, you must remind yourself, because we are a highly sensitive society these days. We must remind ourselves when you read those words, he loves me. He died for me. I can just page a few pages forward and see, ah, yes, he went to the cross for me. A few pages forward, Romans 5 verse 8, ah, God demonstrates his own love toward me, that while I was still a sinner, Christ died for me. The whole of Scripture is not just a few verses. The whole of Scripture testifies about God's love. If you have to sum up the whole Bible in one word, you would say love. But still, there's people, and when they think about God or Jesus, they get offended and they fail to see that. They fail to see the love of God. And we need to remind them, because people are born these days. We were all born sinners. But more than that, people get trained up and people embrace huge filters. And we all grew up saying, you know, hearing, we don't this, you know, we had a teacher in our primary school, our biology teacher and rugby coach, interesting man. He was ex-military and tough guy, Reki. And he always said, you know, there's three things we don't talk about in this classroom. Politics, religion, and sex. But let me tell you about this, you know. And then he goes off into it like a sexual thing. So, anyway. We grew up, we don't talk about religion. Well, I'd say yes. Okay, that's good. But let's not put our relationship with God in that category, because it's not religion that we're talking about here. It's not a set of rules or tradition that we're talking about here. We're talking about a personal relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. What does your relationship with Jesus look like this morning? We've all got family, and we're close with them, or we've been close with them at some point. And we know it's sometimes tough. You don't get to pick your family, but you know, you have to sometimes sit around the table with them. Sometimes clashes. And so we know relationship can be hard sometimes, even when the person is sitting in front of you in the flesh and you can see them and there's things you can do for them. You can give them a gift, a physical gift in the natural, like maybe on Christmas. And sometimes something so small and insignificant can even make the hardest feelings evaporate. So yes, relationship with Jesus on some levels can be a bit more difficult. You can't see him. You can't give him a little gift. So you know maybe the state of your relationship in your family this morning, your biological, natural family. And you could tell me about some people that you get along very well with, or others that you don't. What does your relationship with Jesus look like this morning? Probably you've also been through dips and up mountains with him and shared some good times and some rough times. What does it look like today? You're in church this morning, so that's a very good sign. But this morning, just as a reminder, it's all about Jesus. Christmas, it's about Jesus. The reason we gather here every Sunday, it's about Jesus. Let us pray. Jesus, King of glory, we humble ourselves before you this morning. Lord, we thank you for life. Thank you that you've given us life. You've given us an opportunity to experience life in this earth and above all, relationship with you, our Creator, our Father. Lord, this morning, you look past our fancy clothes and the words coming from our lips, and you look straight into our hearts. And what do you see, Lord? Lord, we know that so often our hearts are wicked. We know, Lord, that so often our hearts are deceptive. But Lord, we can even try and fool ourselves, but we can never fool you, Lord. This morning, Lord, we just want to be honest before you, Lord. And we know, Lord, you want in. You are the King of glory. You created us. You paid for us with your blood. We doubly belong to you, Lord. It's our reasonable service to give you our lives. And this morning, you want in. Let the King of glory come in. Lord, you are knocking at the door of our hearts this morning and you're reminding us what it's all about. It's not about attending meetings. It's about relationship with you, Lord. You are Jesus. You are Savior. There's salvation in no other name. Holy Spirit, just come and minister to us. I pray, Holy Spirit, because it would be a miss of me if I didn't, that you would come and convict every heart here this morning that is not in relationship with you, Lord. So this morning, if you're sitting here and you know that you're not in right standing with God, you're not in a personal relationship with him where you hear his voice, where you've received his forgiveness, where you've repented and turned to him, stopped walking in your old ways, and now you're following Jesus. And it's not that you're perfect, but when you stumble, you get up and you ask the Lord for help and off you go again following Jesus. If that is not your life this morning, if you are distant from God, maybe you even experience God as being disinterested in your life or somehow far, far away. Well, that's not the truth. He's right here and he wants you so bad. He wants to save you. You can live a good life and even be a good person and still go to hell if you've rejected Jesus Christ. That's the truth. But God doesn't want anyone to go to hell. And he wants to save you. If you have not received forgiveness from Jesus and entered into a relationship with him as yet, I want to give you that opportunity this morning. I want to pray for us here. I just want you to be very bold and raise your hand. No one's looking around. And you say, I want Jesus. I want this king to be my king. You just raise your hand. Raise it high. Anyone like that?